Track 9, Environmental Concerns. On the last track, we discussed the ways in which social pressures affect a sexually abused boy's development in the areas of gender role identity, double standard, and age disparity, heterosexual abuse. As you know, an ideal environment for sexual information for a child would be one in which accurate and an efficient amount of information is given at an appropriate age. The boy is given the opportunity to learn about and experience their growing sexuality within a supportive, nurturing, and informative environment. However, as you are well aware, this most commonly may not be the case. On this track, we will examine the way that four types of environment can affect sexually abused boys: the evasive environment, the environmental vacuum, the seductive environment, and the overly sexual environment. The first type of environment, the evasive environment, is a restrictive one. When boys are raised in this type of atmosphere, there is little or no accurate information pertaining to sexual matters. This results in a misinformed child and can lead to even greater confusion when sexual abuse enters into the equation. Robbie, a 12-year-old sexually abused client of one of my colleagues, Frank, had been brought up in an evasive environment. Robbie related to Frank, "One time one of the girls sat down next to me at lunch and eventually began to talk about sex stuff. I never believed girls talked like that. I didn't know what to say because I didn't know anything about sex. That's for people who are married and who are going to have babies. When she asked me something about home base, I thought she was talking about softball." Frank then asked Robbie what and how his parents had taught him about sex. Robbie stated, "My dad used to get so nervous when I asked where my baby brother came from, I quit asking. He usually said something about being able to understand someday when I was older. My mom was no help either. When I asked her questions, she would tell me to ask my dad. She still says words like pee-pee and tinkle when talking about going to the bathroom." Can you see how Robbie had no understanding about his own sexuality prior to the abuse? The next environment, the environmental vacuum, is even more restrictive than the evasive environment. When a child is raised in an environmental vacuum, there is usually never any information about sexuality provided. Curiosity about sex is met with little helpful information or evasive responses. Eventually, due to religious or moral reasons, the parents shelter their children from any contact or exposure to sexual matters, whether healthy or not. While some parents regard this as the best approach, this kind of environment can lead to inappropriate behaviors. Peter, a 16-year-old sexually abused client of mine, was raised in an environmental vacuum. Peter related, "I never saw my parents hug each other, but they did kiss goodbye occasionally. The kisses were more pecks than kisses, though. I somehow knew not to ask about sex, even though I had lots of questions to ask." When he was abused by his baseball coach at age 11, Peter was not quite sure what had happened or how to react. He stated, "I didn't know if I should go to my parents or not. I thought they would be just as confused as I was. They never spoke about that stuff, so I didn't know that they would know. I just kept it quiet and tried to stay as normal as possible. I just knew that I was different and I didn't want to be different." As you can see from Peter's account, had his parents been more informative about sex, what sex is appropriate, and what is a violation of boundaries, he might have revealed the abuse much earlier than he did. In addition to the evasive environment and the environmental vacuum, the third form of environment is known as the negative environment. Here, sex is proclaimed as dirty or immoral. Many times, curious children exploring their bodies are punished severely. From an early age, the child learns to associate any sexual experience with shame and disgust for their own bodies. Joseph, a 17-year-old sexually abused client of mine who was raised in this negative environment, was abused by his 32-year-old neighbor, Laura, at the age of 13. Ashamed and horrified that some of the things he experienced were pleasurable, Joseph punished himself by becoming anorexic. Terrified by telling his parents, Joseph did not report his abuse until his high school counselor asked him to go to therapy for his anorexia. There, he revealed the abuse. The seductive or overly sexual environment shares characteristics but are different in many aspects. In a seductive environment, a parent or other relatives makes suggestive advances towards a child. Also, mixed messages are constantly confusing the child, for instance, hinting at the desirability of sexual contact between the seductive adult and the child, but continuing to condemn such behavior as superficial. The overtly sexual environment, however, involves actual intercourse between an adult and a child. Craig, age 18, was referred to a colleague of mine because he was having problems getting along with his classmates and teacher. He was anxious around female teachers, especially, and became explosively angry when asked by a female teacher about his grades. Craig couldn't seem to understand or control his anxiety around women. In one session, Craig asked his therapist, "I don't think this has anything to do with anything, but I'm wondering if having sex before you are supposed to can help or hurt your sex life." When asked to go further, Craig revealed that his housekeeper of his childhood repeatedly committed sexual acts with him since the age of 9 until he was 13. As you can see, Craig had grown up in the most common environment of sexually abused clients. To address explosive behavior like Craig's, you might consider using the assertive versus aggressive technique. First, define for your client a clear definition of assertiveness. Number one, to ask for what you want or need. Two, standing up for yourself and your rights without being harmful to others. Three, expressing your feelings and thoughts. Next, clearly define aggressive behavior. 1. Doing or saying something that hurts or threatens someone else. 2. Getting what you want at the expense of others. Next, give examples of situations that are either assertive or aggressive. For instance, one teenager sees a second teenager bothering his girlfriend and approaches him about it. What would be an example of an assertive behavior? On the other hand, this scenario, your dad tells you he does not like your friend, John, and restricts you from seeing him, would be an example of an aggressive behavior. Then ask the client whether he thought the example was one of aggression or assertion. Next, brainstorm with the client about ways in which to make an aggressive situation assertive. By completing this exercise, Craig could better control his behavior around females. On this track, we discussed the way that 4 types of environment can negatively affect sexually abused boys: the evasive environment, the environmental vacuum, the seductive environment, and the overly sexual environment. On the next track, we will examine additional ways to address sexually abused boys who are experiencing anger problems. Question 9. What are the 4 types of environment that can negatively affect sexually abused boys?